The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
In this episode of Mind Pump, the world's top fitness, health, and entertainment podcast, we talk all about high-intensity interval training. We're in the summer. That means most of you are really interested in peeling down those fat layers so that everybody can see your sculpted and amazing body.
Oh, yeah.
At the beach or at the pool or, you know, just washing your car, taking your shirt off. Right, Justin?
Every time.
So HIIT training.
You're welcome, Ms. Johnson.
Very effective. Unfortunately, most people do it very wrong. If you do HIIT training wrong, you're not going to reap the benefits of it. So in this episode, we talk about the things that you should focus on to make your high-intensity interval training super effective. Also, this episode is brought to you by our sponsor, Felix Gray. Now, Felix Gray makes some of the best blue light blocking glasses you'll find anywhere. One of the reasons why we like them so much is the Felix Gray glasses don't change the color of the room. They're not orange or red glasses. You don't look weird. Doesn't make your food unpalatable. You guys ever try eating food with red or orange glasses? It's really weird.
It's weird.
The Felix Gray ones are relatively clear, but they still block a great deal of blue light. And wearing these glasses a couple hours before bed improves your sleep. Studies prove this. If you work on a computer all day long, it'll also prevent eye fatigue and help with concentration. Anyway, we have a Mind Pump link if you want to go check them out. Go to felixgrayglasses.com. That's F-E-L-I-X-G-R-A-Y glasses.com/mindpump. And you'll get free shipping and free returns. Also, this episode is all about HIIT training. We have a high-intensity interval training program that we created ourselves. All you have to do is enroll, go online. You got the video demos. You got the workout blueprints. You got the flow sessions. Everything is spelled out and done for you. So all you got to do is follow the program, and you'll get remarkable results. It's a home gym-friendly workout as well. A barbell, dumbbells. You don't need lots of equipment. That's pretty much it. And you can do the whole HIIT workout. Now, this whole month, we're putting that program 50% off, half off. So here's how you get that discount. Make sure you pay attention. Go to mapshit.com. That's M-A-P-S-H-I-I-T.com. And use the code HIIT50. That's H-I-I-T-5-0. No space for the discount. Boys, we are officially in summer.
Oh, it's hot. All them sexy bodies are coming out now.
Yeah, this is fat loss season.
It's bikini weather, Justin.
Oh, it is?
That's right.
Did oh, wow.
You get
I better wax my
get
cakes.
Get your two-piece ready.
What did you say, wax your cakes?
Yeah.
That's
get rid of all the hair.
That's
I mean?
Gross.
Yeah.
No, this is when everybody really pushes hard to typically get leaner.
For sure.
You know, when I was growing up, cut season was right around summer, yeah, bulk season.
It's
was,
crunch time right now.
Was, yeah.
You gotta show it.
And so I think it's, you know, it's important we talk about some of the most effective exercise ways to burn body fat. Now, one that pops up a lot is high-intensity interval training. Studies show that with shorter periods of training, high-intensity interval training, also known by its its acronym HIIT, burns as much body fat as other workout styles in shorter periods of time. In other words, you could do 20 minutes or 30 minutes of a HIIT workout and get similar results to a 45 or 60 minute, other type of workout. I remember too when the first
early 2000s.
Yeah, it was early 2000s.
Early 2000s. I remember too. I remember being a personal trainer and coming across the first bit of research that was done on HIIT training, and like usual in our space, that's right away. Then it would turn into a trend. Then for probably, a couple of years there, I'd say that's how you saw almost all the trainers in the gym We're now trained.
Oh, yeah. You saw that, and then you saw these different variations of, like, time signatures and different cycles, Tabata type of hit. Yeah. So it just – it evolved into a lot of different forms of it, but that became, like, the gold standard of how to train everybody.
Right. Now, we've talked about this many times on the show, but I want to kind of restate it. You know, cardio-type exercise does burn a lot of calories. It actually burns more calories in the time being spent than resistance training-type exercise. But that's not the whole story, of course. You want to, with resistance training, you actually teach your body to burn more calories on its own. You speed up your metabolism. With cardiovascular type training, you tend to teach your body to become more efficient with calories. In other words, you slow your metabolism down, which can make fat loss and maintenance much more difficult in the long term. One of the biggest challenges I see with HIIT type training is that people use it with cardio and they don't use it with weights. I think you can utilize the effects, the benefits of HIIT training with its calorie burn, but also mitigate the metabolism slowdown effects that you can get from lots of cardio. So a lot of people don't know this, but you can do HIIT training with weights and you can do HIIT training with cardio. Mm-hmm. Both of them are a bit different. HIIT training with cardio looks, you know, like this. I'm on a treadmill, and then I'll sprint for, you know, an all-out sprint or whatever for 15 seconds, 20 seconds. And then I'll do a slow jog or a walk for a minute or so, get my heart rate to come back down.
Or you just see a ton of burpees followed by jump squats followed by, you know, anything else that will just, like, exhaust you immediately calisthenic wise. So let's just smash it all together.
The real benefits that come from this is it's the variation of the heart. It's the hard spike to where you reach close to your maximum heart rate, and then it's the recovery time to come back down, and then it's the returning back to that. And I think the idea is that because it's not high intensity training for a long duration, you're not sending that same signal to your body that you're doing cardio purely for a half hour or hour, because you're allowing the heart rate to come back down and then spike up again. I think that's where the muscle sparing piece to this comes.
It does, but it gets even better when you do your HIIT training with weights. So rather than doing the cardio aspect of it or version of it, use weights where you may, and it kind of resembles a circuit, right? It's similar to a circuit. You're going from one exercise to another with minimal rest, getting your heart rate up. Then you take a break like you would with HIIT cardio, allowing your heart rate to come back down, and then you repeat the cycle. Now, why is that better than doing HIIT training with cardio? Well, first off, when you use weights, remember weights are extremely versatile. There's 100 different exercises per body part on my body with weights and resistance. I can train my body very specifically to what it needs. If I have forward shoulder, if I have a particular posture, you know, issue, if I have pain in one area, if I have overdeveloped quads and underdeveloped glutes, you know, if I want to build aesthetics in a particular way, with weights, I can mold and modify my routine. The other thing too with weights is if you do a good HIIT routine with weights, you are training yourself in a very balanced way. What does HIIT training look like with cardio? The same movement over and over again. You're doing the same patterns over and over. So if you're on a treadmill, a bike, or a rower, and you're doing your HIIT training, it looks the same. I'm sprinting, but I'm doing the same thing over and over again. And that can turn into, you know, muscle imbalances and injuries. And it doesn't send a muscle-building signal. Now, to be fair, HIIT training with weights doesn't send the loud muscle-building signal that you're going to get with traditional resistance training. But it definitely sends more of a signal than HIIT cardio.
Right.
That's for sure. And why is that important? Well, if you're, you know, you probably want to burn body fat and not muscle. Most of us don't want to lose muscle. We just want to burn body fat. And even if you don't care too much about how much muscle you have, you probably care about the fact that when you do lose the weight that you're looking to lose, that you don't end up having to maintain that weight with super low calorie diet. That's a very, very difficult position to be in. Long term, it's hard. You know, if you burn a bunch of body fat and now you're 1500 calories, anything over that makes you gain weight. That's a tough position to be in long term. And HIIT with weights prevents that.
Well, I also think it's a safer form. I remember, you know, programming this for clients that were, you know, above the age of 40, 50 years old and doing these, you know, circuit-based type of routines. And the traditional thing that you see a lot of people is battle ropes, jump boxes, a lot of dynamic plyometric type mm-hmm. of movements to get their heart rate up. And quite frankly, most of my clients that were above the age 40 had no real business doing something like that just to elevate their heart rate. So I would way prefer to take a pair of dumbbells and do bent over rows with them or shoulder presses or squats to get their heart rate elevated mm-hmm. and hit that max heart rate before they come back down, opposed to jump boxes mm-hmm. where there's a much higher rate of injury. So, and that was one of the biggest things that as a boss of trainers that were doing this for probably a few years because it was so popular, you know, I started to get more and more of these clients coming with injuries and aches and pains with their joints. So that's one of the things that you have to take into consideration when you're training this way and you're using things like plyometrics or purely cardio to get the benefits.
There's definitely a risk versus reward to all this. And that's why exercise selection is a very important piece to all this if we are to include weights and to make sure that you are performing these with, you know, good form, because you're still teaching your body this skill. You're teaching your body how to respond to this type of a movement. And we don't want to teach bad behavior, because that's what you're going to carry with yourself just trying to get through the reps.
Yeah. Now, when Justin says bad behavior, what he's talking about is your technique.
Yeah.
If you train wrong, you get good at training wrong. What you train gets stronger. The pattern that you practice is the pattern that becomes your default pattern. Here's the other reason why those HIIT routines don't work really well when they're doing, like you said, jump boxes and jumping jacks and burpees. Those movements do have some value when used appropriately. Jump mm-hmm. boxes, if you do them in plyometrics correctly, you build lots of power. When you're just jumping up and down on a box, it doesn't matter that you're jumping on a box. You do something else, you're just getting your heart rate up.
Yeah, well, I mean, even burpees, I remember it's funny because we've kind of clowned on burpees a little bit. Well, mainly because what you see when people start to get fatigued, their hips sag, they smash their whole body into the ground. It just turns into this ugly mush of an exercise, whereas there's a way to do it where you can still maintain composure and, you know, get your body to do exactly what you want it to do in the movement.
Right, right. So weights for HIIT training are superior. Of course, put together a good balanced routine, because you are still getting a little bit stronger. You're still strengthening your muscles. Again, it's not a pure strength training routine. It's more of a calorie burning routine, which is phenomenal in the short term. But with weights, you're still sending somewhat of a muscle building signal if you do it properly. So also the exercises you put together, make sure they're balanced. Make sure they're not all pushing or all pulling or all squatting, right?
Well, there's mm-hmm. also a lack of emphasis on mobility. I mean, that was the big problem.
That's a big thing.
That I saw was when I look at all the programming done on this, mobility belongs in every routine, no matter what your goal is. I don't care who you are. It's just how much of that, it just depends on how mm-hmm. bad you need it, but it belongs in every program. It especially belongs in something like high intensity interval training.
Totally.
Oh, yeah.
If there was ever a time that you needed to make sure to incorporate some sort of recuperative thing for your joints and your body, it would be when you're training at a high intensity.
This is the biggest knock on high intensity interval training. It puts so much force and shear forces on the joints, like, that you have to account for, and to not have in place a plan to fortify those joints and to maintain the health of and function of the joints is going to be to your detriment 100%.
No, that's totally true, because one of the biggest weaknesses of this type of training is injury and poor patterning. Poor recruitment patterns of the muscle. By the way, recruitment pattern just refers to the order and the way that your muscles fire. Remember, your muscles move your body, and there's an ideal way that they can fire, and then there's less than ideal ways that they can fire. And when you do this, when you have them fire in less than ideal ways over and over again, that's when you start to get problems. That's when you start to get pain. Or at the very least, here's the other thing. Maybe you don't have lots of pain, but your body's pretty smart. Your body will actually prevent you from improving because it's afraid to let you get stronger. Okay, so let me repeat that again. Your body has safeguards that help prevent you from hurting yourself. In other words, your body's always trying to only let you be as strong or exert as much strength as it feels it's safe to do. So if your recruitment patterns are off and you're doing all these hard workouts, you'll hit a faster plateau than if you train in a balanced way. In fact, one of the ways whenever I've trained advanced lifters, one of the ways I've always got them stronger was just on helping them with mobility. all of a sudden I got that weak link out of the way, and you know, their bench press was stuck at whatever pounds for a long time, and I got their stability a little stronger on their shoulders. Next thing you know, they went up 10 pounds just from doing that. So mobility should be a very – it should be part of any routine, but especially if you're training with a high level of intensity. It should be a part of your workout. In fact, you know, when we did our HIIT program, we put flow sessions in there specifically for that, specifically because – you know, when you do the even though we did program the workout ourselves, and it's a great workout because of the intensity involved. I mean, HIIT training is the only type of resistance training that intensity is part of the name, right? High intensity interval training. We knew because of the way it needed to be performed that mobility was imperative, because either the people following the program would maybe hurt themselves, or they just wouldn't get the results that they could get because their mobility was preventing them from getting there.
Well, I just don't you guys remember? I remember when it when we first started doing it like crazy, you know, over a decade ago, and shin splints, knees bothering me, low back issues, hip issues. Like they also, I remember this too when I got involved with Orange Theory, you know, about 5-6 years ago. Very similar. Now they aren't exactly HIIT training, but very similar. They use these zones where, and they have like block what they call blocks where they want you to push, and you go all out. And when you go all out, you're sprinting on the treadmill or you're sprinting on the rower. Mm-hmm. Right. And so they have a piece of HIIT training involved in it, and there is no attention towards mobility training. Mm. And I remember like you know everybody loves it at the beginning because you're pushing so hard, you're burning so many calories. You know, if you're just halfway making an effort at eating better and doing it at the same time, most people are going to see somewhat of a change in that first 4 to 6 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
But here comes the hard plateau after that. You know, and that they've been pushing their body that hard for a while. They've seen kind of results. And then now here comes all the tightness. Oh, Adam, every day after class, talking to somebody that has shin splints, or, you know, I don't understand why my knee is bothering me like crazy.
I can't do the squat part. Can't do that part now of the routine.
Yeah, but you turn the intensity knob up. You just have to account for the fact that any small compensation, any small deviation in form, in posture gets amplified, you know, 10 times that. So you have to just know that going into it. Like if I'm going to turn my intensity up, now I got to really pay attention to my recovery process.
And by the way, mobility done properly is kind of a workout. It's not a waste of time.
You will sweat.
I mean, again, in our HIIT program, we have what are called flow sessions. Flow sessions, you are moving through mobility poses. You're going to get a workout. It's actually part of your routine and your workout. And the reason why I'm saying that is I know I have to sell it to people who are, you know, young people, right? Who are like, oh, I don't
know, especially with people in this mentality. I just want to just murder every workout. It's awesome.
You will get faster results with proper mobility added to your high intensity interval training program.
Well, we also have to talk about the people that appeal to this. And that's, you know, this takes some self-awareness. Right. If you're somebody who loves this type of training, you know, you need to reflect and ask why.
Yeah.
You know, in my experience of training clients, more often than not, it's the type A personality. It's the go-getter. It's somebody who's already running at like high levels, stress all the time, go, 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 that they want that extra hard push because they need that to feel like they did something or accomplished something. And to be quite frank, these are the worst people for this.
That's right.
These aren't the people that should be gravitating towards that. And if you're going to, and you're not going to take my advice, and you're still going to go do HIIT training, that was like why we implemented the flow sessions. It was like, listen, if there's going to be people that are still going to go out there, do this, even though it's not the best thing for the body, at least at the bare minimum, take care of your joints.
Right. Now, make no mistake, if it's appropriate for you and you do it properly, good programming with weights and, you know, incorporate mobility, HIIT training, when it comes to fat loss, nothing burns calories faster and nothing causes a faster fat loss in a 4-week period of time than HIIT training. Here's the next part. I said a 4-week period of training. You got to keep it short. HIIT training is not meant to be all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not meant to be a 12-week program. On average, when I would train clients, I would have them do HIIT anywhere between 2 to 6 weeks. It was usually 2 to 6 weeks. Max, I might go an additional week or two, but never more than a couple months.
There's a lot of wear and tear you're going to place on your body. I mean, if you just think about it, if you keep cranking that intensity knob up, it's going to catch up to you, and your body's going to respond negatively.
It also just stops working.
Well, yeah. I think of it very similar to how we programmed the durability phase inside MAPS Performance.
Right.
How I like to peak a client.
Exactly.
It's like we've laid a really good foundation. We've been scaling volume over time. We've been slowly increased intensity. Now, here's the peak of your programming. And so for me, it would always be the last 2 to 4 weeks that I run something like this.
That's it. This is key now. If you're doing this right and you want to get a short burst of fat burning, a short burst of accelerated results in terms of body fat percentage, you're looking 4-6 weeks, maybe a week or two longer than that max. You got to keep it short. Hit training. Now, if you're training for performance, if you're an athlete, yeah, you hit training is kind of going to be a part of your repertoire throughout the whole year. But if you're looking to get the fat loss effects, if you do it for too long, here's what happens. Your body starts to adapt, stops working, and then because you're not doing the traditional resistance training, now you find yourself in a similar conundrum to when you overdo cardio. It just stops working.
We also have to keep in mind when we compare ourselves to athletes and how they train.
Yeah.
They have different adaptation goals than we do.
Totally.
The average person who's listening to this wants to be healthier, wants to lose some body fat, wants to build some muscle. That is not the main goal for most athletes. And so when you see them training and conditioning and pushing themselves to these extreme levels, we're talking about a different goal. Like if I'm training that person, I might go longer than 4 or 6 weeks with them because I care more about replicating game time for them. I know at some point in their game, they're going to want to quit because their body's fatigued and tired. And so I'm pushing them through this workout to get to emulate a similar feeling they're going to get during game time. And it's more of a mental push than it is anything else.
It's still calculated, though. It's still calculated how frequently you use that button because you need to establish that foundational strength. You need to establish that type of movement in different directions and strong in different directions and then build yourself and peak yourself going into season. You want to save that. And so, to a lot of strength conditioning coaches out there who just constantly condition and beat their athletes to death, there's a much better way to do it. So I would challenge even that in terms of that mentality.
Yeah, keep it short. If you push it too long, you might start to notice even some muscle pare down, which then kills your progress. But if you keep it short, it's very effective. Like I said, 4 or 6 weeks, maybe a week or two longer than that, that's where you're going to reap all the benefits. After that, move out of that and move into a more kind of traditional type of routine. Now, the next thing to focus on with HIIT training is that you want it to be anaerobic, not necessarily aerobic. I think a lot of people, when they do HIIT training, what they're looking for is the exhaustion.
Yeah.
They're looking for the exhaustion of their lungs, where it's tough for them to breathe and, I can barely move through each repetition. Of course, this leads to bad form.
Cardiovascular exhaustion versus muscle fatigue,
right? Right. You want to train your muscles, not necessarily the cardio. You want HIIT training is more like weights and less than cardio, okay? Now, it's more like cardio than traditional resistance training is, but it's not like cardio. It's still resistance training if you do it the proper way. So focus on that. Remember that. Now, why is that important? Again, too much aerobic training, if your goal is long-term fat loss. By the way, nothing wrong with aerobic training. It could be healthy. It's good for endurance. But if you push it for too long and that's your main goal, your body learns to become efficient with calories. It pares down muscle. For most people that I've talked to, whose most people's goals are fat loss, they want to maintain it. They still want to be able to eat a normal diet or a relatively normal diet. They don't want to have to eat super low calories all the time. That they don't want a slower metabolism. They don't want the super efficient, metabolism that may have benefited us when we were hunter-gatherers. They want a metabolism that's fast, and you get that from having more muscle. So you want to make sure that your HIIT training resembles more like resistance training and less than cardio, not the other way around, because I see people do this in the gym, and the weights are just there almost as a prop.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's really not that different from me being on cardio. It's just
jumping with them now.
Yeah, I have dumbbells in my hand or I have a barbell.
Well, you got to be careful of that too, right? This is just like why, going all out on a treadmill, all out on a Stairmaster, all out on a rower, all out on a jump rope, all are very similar. They're not that much different. And the thing that's beautiful about weights is that allows you to change the variables and make a big difference. But if you just do them in this fast pumping motion and you're combining it with things like burpees and jump boxes, you're losing that. You're losing that. Then it's just like Stairmaster.
Right.
It's not that much different than the elliptical at that point.
Right. Now, so here's how you judge that if you're not, if this is kind of confusing. What is making you need to put the weights down? Is it that you can't catch your breath? Or is it that the muscle, your form is starting to break down because your muscles are fatigued?
Right.
It's very different, right? If it's like, oh man, if I could only breathe right now, I'd be able to do four more reps. Okay, you're doing cardio.
Mm-hmm.
If it's like, okay, this is hard. I'm definitely, my heart rate's definitely going up. I'm breathing harder than I normally would, but I could still go. But hold on a second. My muscles are getting fatigued. Then you know.
Yeah,
it's
I gotta
more
set
like
the
resistance.
Weights down because my grip's sort of failing.
Well, right. one of the best ways to make sure you're doing this right is to prioritize form.
Is to
make sure that at foremost is the most important part of this.
100%.
Even though we are following a HIIT protocol and we're trying to get the extra benefits of burning more calories and burning more fat by pushing yourself at higher levels, you still do not want to break the rules of good biomechanics. You do not want your form to suffer, and that's where you learn to shut it down. And I remember when we were programming HIIT, that was like, I remember one of the hardest things that we're like, how do we explain this to people?
Yeah.
Like, how do we, because we don't want people to think that, we don't want them to go to failure of like, you know, exhaustion failure. We want them to go to failure when their form breaks down.
Form failure.
Yeah, that's right.
Form failure. You want perfect form. And the worst form I ever see with resistance training is in HIIT style training. You saw this in CrossFit workouts oftentimes where people are going from exercise to exercise. Form starts to break down. It's only about doing reps. You see this with circuit training, HIIT training, where, again, the exercise is almost seen arbitrary. It's just like, pick the dumbbells up, do presses. Pick the dumbbells up, do squats. Yeah. You know, do some lunges. And you watch.
Now go run and then come back.
And you watch people's form go out the window, and what becomes the priority are the reps. What's the priority is how many I can do. That is not the priority with proper HIIT training. With proper HIIT training, the priority is form. When your form breaks down, I don't care about anything else. Put the weight down and wait and then go again. And then when the form breaks down, repeat. What you don't want to do ever with resistance training is strengthen bad form.
Yeah.
If you get really good at bad form, it becomes harder to correct that than if you start.
I'm going
to
make a comparison here. So think of kipping pull-ups versus a strict pull-up, right? I'm getting the benefits of strengthening my back doing a strict pull-up, whereas in the mentality of a kipping pull-up, I'm just trying to do as many reps as I can to fatigue. Meanwhile, like my shoulders are suffering as a result of that.
Well, and right. One of them's going to develop your back a hell of a lot more, and one of them's just going to develop your gas tank.
Right there. Yeah, that's right. So form is absolutely crucial when you do any kind of training, especially when you're doing HIIT training. Again, because it's a very attractive, you know, notion to keep going and push yourself. You saw high intensity interval training. I got to keep pushing, and so we kind of forgive ourselves for bad form with HIIT training more so than we would with traditional resistance training. Not the case. You will not get better results if you throw your form out the window and push yourself harder. In fact, you'll slow down your progress. Trust me, listen to me. If you make form the priority with your HIIT training, not only will you get there better, but you'll get there faster.
Well, and one of the ways that we addressed this in MAPS HIIT was we had three levels, and we encouraged everybody to start with that level one and then to scale to level two and then scale to level three versus just going straight to what's the most difficult thing for you to do.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. In fact, it's funny when, you know, people were getting our HIIT pro. By the way, HIIT was a program, when we wrote that program, that one was one that we kind of struggled with a little bit because we know how abused HIIT training can be.
Yeah.
And we wanted to make sure that we delivered it and explained it so that people did it the right way. We want people to train the right way so they get long-term forever results. You know, we don't care about the short-term up and down type of progress. So when we designed HIIT, that all went into the program. But it's really funny because when we explain how form has to be number one, and then we'd have people who listen to the show get the program, they would start with level one because they'd be like, all right, I trust you. It looks easy, but I'll trust you. Then they'd, you know, write back and be like, oh no, that was perfect.
Yeah.
Any more than that, and I don't think my form would have been a priority.
When that's your mentality, it changes the entire format of the workout. And there is a better way to do that style of training, and it's a valid way to train if, you know, you do it for the designated amount of time that's just enough, and, you know, you have these types of parameters around what your focus is and the intent of it as you go into the workout.
Now, one of the things that I, you know, because we do kind of hammer, it's the only program actually that we have a warning on, right? It's the only program that we felt necessary to warn people that this is not something you want to stay in forever. But one of the things I do love about it is when you have limited space, limited time, or limited equipment, you can actually have a pretty damn good effective program.
The HIIT workouts are either like a dumbbell, a barbell,
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. So
body weight stuff.
Body weight's super, super home gym friendly or minimal equipment friendly. It's still resistance training, but we wanted to write it that way for two different reasons. Remember, we created the program before gyms were closed down, all that stuff. So it wasn't like we wrote the program thinking, oh, people aren't going to be able to go to the gyms. We thought to ourselves, for proper HIIT training, you want to move from one exercise to another.
Uninterrupted.
If you do machines or you do different exercises, that means you have to wait for the guy or girl that's on the piece of equipment before you move into your exercise. Now that's going to throw you off your sequence. It's no longer HIIT training anymore. Now it's traditional resistance training. So if you just have one barbell or a couple pairs of dumbbells to yourself, you could do the whole workout in your little square, you know, realm of exercise space or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, it just so happens today a lot of people are working out at home, so that program now is extremely valuable because it doesn't require a lot of equipment. A phenomenal short-term fat loss program. I think the whole program is 6 weeks, if I'm not mistaken. Is it mm-hmm. 6 weeks long? I believe it is. I believe it's about 6 weeks long. We'll have Adam double check that, but
I think it's 4 to 6 weeks. Yeah, depending on how you use it.
It's a short term, very fast, high calorie burning routine. Of course, it comes with all the demos and all that stuff. And because we're in June and it's the beginning of summer, we're putting that program 50% off. So it's half off. So if you want a HIIT program that's done properly, you want to have flow sessions so you don't hurt yourself. You want to follow a well-programmed workout with weights so you don't send the wrong signal to your body, then you can check out our program.
And the flow sessions to me, I think, are the diamond in the rough here. That was one of my favorite parts mm-hmm. that we incorporated because it's every other day. So you do a HIIT workout one day, then the next day you have a flow session, and then you have a HIIT workout, then you have a flow session. And then we actually program goals for yourself for like steps, like going out and walking on the weekend. So that's kind of how the program's laid out. And it's broken up in three phases every 2 weeks. So it's a 6 week program and it's broken up in three different phases. So 2 week phases. And again, I always recommend that people start on the more beginner side. Even if you're an advanced person, if you haven't been training HIIT style, start off with it in level one. You can always progress yourself to level two and level three. And honestly, put more energy and effort into the flow session.
Oh,
if there was ever a time for you to really focus on that, this is great while we're all still, a lot of places are still shelter in place or we have minimal equipment or gyms aren't open, still a great time for you to be working things like
that. I love those. And many of the movements in the flow sessions are yoga inspired, but there's lots of tension and control within them as well. If you want to follow our HIIT program, again, we wrote it so we know it's good. You can go to mapshit.com. That's mapshiit.com. And use the code HIIT50, that's HIIT50. Also, you can find the Mind Pump Podcast on YouTube. We're also on video. Come check us out, Mind Pump Podcast. By the way, on our Q&A episodes, oftentimes we break up those segments. So you can just look up one question that we answer so you don't have to listen to the or watch the whole episode. So make sure you check it out.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.